Tom, so you were reading a New York Times story, actually, today, was it? It was today, I think.
Well, I think it appeared over the weekend.
Over the weekend.
Yeah, but it came up on the computer today. And, you know, it was one of those times over the holiday weekend where one could take some time and
so delightful, isn't it? You can actually sit, right, you can think about and read something in depth.
Exactly. And this was a piece by Ron Lieber, who writes a column, Your Money, in the New York Times once a week. And he got into the story of a fellow by the name of Gordon Murray, who was a longtime bond salesman for firms like Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, Credit Suisse, who had a life-changing event occur. He is confronting his imminent demise at this point after a successful career in that business. And as he approached it, he came upon an epiphany of how he was really thinking wrong, basically,
yeah,
about how to prepare for retirement and invest for the long haul. He was engaged in all of the things that the Wall Street firms do, and he came to realize that the best way to do it was to invest in index funds, diversify, and invest for the long haul.
And we talk about this a lot, but sometimes it feels very difficult. And as you say, the story's delightful because this is somebody who, that was his job, was to manage these things.
That's right. And he never had the time to sit down and really analyze it for himself. He's been the busy go-go world. He knows what his employer is putting out there. He knows what the products are. He deals with what customers want. And all the while that he's engaged in that, he's not looking at it from the analytical perspective. But then he had this event, and he shows that he still has a sense of humor, because he notes in the story, one of the true benefits of having a brain tumor, which is a illness, is that everyone wants to hear what you have to say. And so all of a sudden he's got an audience out there, and they're listening to him, and he's preaching the gospel of long-term passive index investment.
And which exactly is what the TSP is you do index investing.
That's right. And one of the good things about this story, if you're looking at it in the electronic version, is it has a number of hot links to different places where you can go and examine the numbers that have been pulled together by various individuals, such as the returns over the long term, and they can really be eye popping. They have a particularly good chart showing the growth of a dollar since just prior to the Great Depression, measuring from 1926 through 2009. And it shows that a dollar invested in a small cap index would have grown to $8,200 over that period, in a large cap index to $2,590, long-term government bonds it would have grown to $85, yeah, treasury bills to $20, and inflation totaled $12 during that period, or it would have had that effect on a dollar.
We often talk with Mike Causey about, you know, sometimes this can feel a little bit like you're on the ice, and they always say, you know, turn into the turn rather than against it. It almost goes against our nature if things are, you know, like the market has done over the last couple of years, where there is these dramatic shifts. It feels like, oh my goodness, I need to get my money out of there.
That's right. No, and you've got to fight that urge once you get around to the point of saying, well, this is what I intend to do. You know, some people are not going to do it. They're not ready to do it, and they think that they can either time the market or do some tactical allocation, as they call it, which simply means I'm making some minor adjustments based on what I expect to happen, but you're still not deviating too far. And people should do what they're comfortable doing. But our plan was designed for passive investment, and it would kind of be like you know, buying a car that's made to go on the highway and then deciding to off-road with it. Can you do it? Sure, but you're gonna, you know, it's not gonna work as well as if you went with a Hummer right off the bat.
And I got to ask you about, because of course the big news today is about the Fed pay and the,
and the
2-year hold on Fed pay proposal. And sometimes people can go, hold on, you know, given that I'm not getting a raise, it's a good time to freeze my TSP. And that that probably isn't a very good plan overall.
Right. The best thing to do and to take advantage of your dollar cost averaging, of course, is to contribute periodically regardless of where the market is. Now times do come along, and we've talked about this before, where individuals might just not have any discretionary income. I, for instance, have three children in college this year.
Oh, I can't even imagine. That keeps me up at night thinking about that.
And no scholarships on the horizon either, unfortunately. But anyway, I planned for this, and I knew this was going to come, and I knew it would be a dry period in my contributions. But on the other hand, I did use my TSP account for a loan that has helped me with some of it, and then my discontinuation of contributions this year frees up some more cash, although it does mean I pay more in taxes because I'm not getting the tax break. But, you know, you just have to plan for these things, think about them, and anticipate them to the extent that you can.
And things like college, I mean, that's one you can anticipate, at least to a certain degree.
That's right. And it's one that you know the benefits of it will be far more than the cost of it.
Right, and clearly you'll charge your kids for the next 20 years.
That's right.
As we think long, I mean, TSP has a number of restrictions. I mean, you can't essentially day trade through the TSP.
That's right, you can't. But you get two interfund transfers unrestricted a month, and anytime you want, you can go to the G fund. You can always seek safety as many times as you want during the month if you want to move small amounts of it. But you are restricted to two interfund transfers, if you will, into the risky funds each month. But that should be plenty, and compared to other plans, it's actually quite generous in terms of the interfund transfers.
And we've talked about those numbers before, and they're relatively small, the people who do that kind of swapping.
That's right. Yeah. When we did a count, it was about 4,000 people out of our 4 million plus participants. Now, there is some inconvenience to others who might just periodically say want to do three interfund transfers. It's unfortunate, but we had to do it because it was costing all of the participants a fair amount of money to allow unrestricted interfund transfers.